This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Seat One Podcast. This is Ben, aka Boston Nuga. Had a busy weekend last weekend. Went to Action Wrestling. That was a really fun time. And then went to Tank Scenic City Throwdown. Had some really good times there. That was 2 weekends ago. Didn't go to anything last week. Gonna think I'm gonna take November off a little bit, actually. I'm going to AEW in Nashville on the 13th, but it's gonna be a slow November. Indie wrestling groups, if you're not aware, sort of calm down for the holidays a little bit. There's not a lot going on in November and December because everyone's got holiday stuff going on. But that AEW show should be fun. We're going to Nashville. And then every other Tuesday night, I'll give a quick plug to the people at Crux Wrestling in Tullahoma. If you are on Twitter, follow Crux Wrestling. Every other Tuesday night, they do a live show with their trainees, and it is batshit crazy. Kerry Offal and Doug Markham run it, and it's basically like if Pee-wee's Playhouse was a wrestling show. It is completely insane. I'm going to go to it tomorrow night. I went 2 weeks ago. I have no idea what to expect except absolute craziness. But this week, since there's not a lot of wrestling going on in the indie world, I figured we'd do sort of an interview the host sort of thing. Y'all know JT Rosero. He is our fearless leader at Place to Be Nation. He is the major domo of this shit. He's the guy who got us all started. Him and Scott Criscolo got us all started. How many years ago, JT?
Hey, Ben. About 8.5, February 2011, Scott and I started the Place to Be podcast.
God. And you stuck with it. You're the only person who stuck with it that long, I think, in all of wrestling wrestling podcast-dom or Twitter-dom, I think, who stuck with it that long. So God bless you for that, brother.
Yeah, I think it's probably us and Pollock and Ting. They were going back in, at that time because they were kind of my influence to get into it. Back in, like, I remember listening to them as far back as like 2010. Dave Lagana was the first like wrestling podcast guy I remember. I feel like he kind of was like the godfather of wrestling podcasts. He really kicked things off, at least at a widespread level. I want to say that was like 2009, 2010. He was kind of one of the first ones I really listened to, and then I found The Law, and then it kind of went from there. But yeah, I mean, the landscape was so different.
Basically you guys, Colt Cabana and Joe Gagné, were like the only three that were going for the longest time.
Yep.
And God bless Joe. He's calmed down a little bit, but you guys are still going strong, man. How many shows are you at now?
I think we just did 534. But God, that's just the Place to Be podcast. Yeah. And you know, with everything, I mean, I've got to be close to like eight, 900 probably when you factor in like all the other shows I've done along the way. Scott and I, for a while, we were doing two a week.
I remember
for the
this.
First like 3 years or so. I think we did two a week pretty religiously. So we were probably pumping out, I'd say, a good 5 hours a week.
I go back to about the first 10, 15 episodes or so when I caught on with you guys, and it's been going ever since. But we'll go into sort of the history of the site. But tell me your background a little bit. You grew up in New England?
Yeah. But pretty much always lived in Rhode Island. I was born in 1980. The only time I lived outside Rhode Island was I went to college in Massachusetts. I went to Assumption College in Worcester. Mm-hmm. And I lived in Connecticut for 3 years. That's where I met Scott after college. So outside of those 7 years, and really when I was in school, I was, you know, basically still living in Rhode Island. I was only there for the school year. But those 3 years in Connecticut were the only time I really lived like outside of the state. So
what's your first memory as a wrestling fan? Was it always something in your life?
Kind of like so my half brother, who didn't live with us growing up, he's like, I want to say 7 years older than me. He was a big fan, but we didn't watch a ton together because, like I said, he didn't live with me, so he wasn't always around. But when he was there, like, I remember him talking about it and kind of having it on. And one of my earliest memories, I think, was the night when my parents were in the hospital. My mom was about to give birth to my sister. I was like four. I remember my brother babysitting and my sister, my older, my half brother and half sister babysitting me. And I remember like wrestling with him and like we were doing like Hulk Hogan and Iron Sheik. Like that's like my first vague memory. Of course I was Iron Sheik, right? Like, so I remember like that. And then I just have like vague hints here and there over the next few years. Like I remember definitely watching like World Class on ESPN. Because I remember like the Triple Cage and all that stuff. My dad would watch that. He was definitely a fan. Like he grew up a fan. My grandfather was a fan back in the day. Like he'd always talk about Haystack Calhoun, of course.
And you're Italian, so it was like a Bruno thing too, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. 100% Italian. As is my father. So, yeah. And my mom, obviously. Yeah. So, do the math there for you on the fly. Yeah. Yeah, so he, yeah, Bruno, yep, was his guy. And obviously, he's a big Yankee fan too, DiMaggio and whatnot at that time. But yes, so he was really into it. He was a big wrestling fan. By the time I started getting really into it, he was like, he kind of faded as he got older, but he still watched it. I think he always deep down liked it. I don't want to say he tolerated, but he definitely would watch with me. Like, and I remember him having it on. And then I got into it in late 89. I remember my cousin, who I was pretty close with at the time, was pretty into it. And he started to slowly break me in. My buddy Jim at school and a couple other guys were really into it. And by early 90 is when I really started to, like, focus watching. Like, WrestleMania 6, around then, is where I really started to focus in. I went to my first house show right after WrestleMania 6. So that's when I would say the summer of 90 is, like, when I really dove in. My brother gave me those old magazines.
Oh, nice.
So I was hardcore from around like WrestleMania 6 on.
Who were your guys?
Savage is my all-time favorite.
Sure.
Voted him number one in the GWWE poll. So he's my all-time favorite. I liked Brutus Beefcake a lot at that time.
Really?
And yeah, I don't know what it was. He just, you know, because I didn't really see like his early stuff, like where he was kind of shitty. So when I got in, he was almost like a main event level star in late 89, early 90.
Oh, they pushed him hard, yeah.
Yeah, and he had a good look and he was over. So I liked him. And I mean, obviously everyone liked Hogan at that point. And I liked the guys that I immediately gravitated to the guys that weren't on a lot that were like kind of hokey, like Akeem. I was like a big Akeem fan, a big
Kobe Square
fan, like guys like that yeah. Like weren't always like featured, but you'd catch them here and there. But for my big guys, it was Savage and Beefcake. And I like the first real storyline I remember was Earthquake squashing Hogan and like getting a little dusty in the room when they play the sad music when Hogan's getting killed.
Did you submit your cards and letters to Tugboat so Earthquake would get better and so they could also collect your address for the holiday catalog?
Yeah, but I didn't get that fucking hemp bracelet thing, or not hemp. What was that bracelet they did? What was that stuff called? Not hemp. The
friendship bracelet or whatever.
Yeah, but what was that material called? GIMP. Yes, yeah. Thank you. I didn't get my GIMP bracelet that they were giving away, but I'm pretty sure. I think I did send a. I'm pretty sure I sent a letter.
You're probably still in their mailing list now.
I probably am. I was part of the fan club in the early 90s. So
oh, were you really? What came with the fan club? I've always wondered that. My parents wouldn't let me join.
So it was the only reason I wanted it was I was a huge mark for the theme music, to the point where I would actually record on cassette, like off of the TV. So I'd have audio cassettes of the entrance themes. And as part of the fan club package, they actually sent you a tape that had like 7 or 8 themes on it.
Oh, man.
So that was like my whole reason for wanting to join. I get an autograph, you know, like a stock photo of like The Undertaker. I'm trying to think what the hell was in there, but I think it was like a Hogan bandana, a mag, like a program. You know, it was pretty basic stuff. But the audio tape, I did it for a couple of years. The audio tape was well worth the price. And actually, the one thing I do still have from that fan club that I kept was a door knob hanger thing that said like "Let me rest in peace" or something. I had like the Undertaker on it. Like I still have that. I saved that one. But yeah, it was kind of cool being in the fan club, mainly for that theme tape. That was like epic at the time.
And what people who are listening all across the country don't realize is what big influence WF had on New England.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
We were their territory. I mean, you know, like I even got WCW and I watched it at 6:05, but like what everyone was talking about in the playgrounds and what the number one focus, you know, without fail was WF.
And I even remember like, late 92, talking to my other cousin, Tom, about we had gotten our hands on, and I don't know how I'd even find these tapes. A lot of the ones I got from my buddy Jim, because he had a black box. So a lot of pay-per-views we were able to get from him. Well, and eventually
I'd get over there. The famous black box.
Oh, beautiful at the time.
You were the most popular kid in school if you had a black box.
It was amazing. I mean, he had that thing from, when I tell you, 91 until 02. Like, I watched SummerSlam 02 at his house on the Black Box. But, yeah, somehow we ended up with WrestleWar 92 on tape, War Games with the Dangerous Alliance. And I remember, like, talking to my dad. I'm like, this was awesome. Like, I'm going to be a WCW fan. And he's like, no, WWF's where it's at. You're going to be a WWF. So, like, it was such a Northeast.
Your parents were discouraging you from being WCW. Right. He's
like, they didn't even give a fuck, really, about wrestling. They were just kind of like, whatever. And we were, like, wrestling in my basement in the back. Yeah, they kind of hated it, you know. So, but, like, for whatever reason, he was like, and that one time, I remember him saying, no, WCW sucks. But the where the hell was I going with all this? I hung out with Grant Cawthon this weekend. He was in town for a comic convention. Mm-hmm. And he we were talking about like how big it was in wrestling, WWF was in Providence. And it's crazy to me how little they come here now. Like, they come for TV at least once a year, but like they haven't had a pay-per-view here in 10 years. And this was a town where they were running monthly house shows in the 80s. And it was always a diehard crowd. And the big favorites here were always Bret Hart and Randy Savage. Like, those guys would outpop anyone. And that's why I wasn't shocked at the 94 Rumble when Bret Hart ended up like this massive pop over Lex Luger. Because I'm like, Providence has always been a diehard Hitman and Randy Savage town. And I'm just shocked that they don't run it as much as they do, because it's a pretty good arena.
It's a great arena. The Dunk's awesome.
Yeah, and it's local to their, you know, home area. So I'm shocked like that they don't run it more. It's surprising to me.
Well, I think that no one's drawing right now as far as house shows. I was going to ask, like, how are the draws when you go? Because, like, no one from reading all these business metrics and stuff like that, like, their house show business, like, they might as well just fold it up at this point.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I haven't gone – I've become a bit of a sob. It's funny because if you told me in, like, say, 96 or something that, like, I wouldn't want to go to every single 30F show that came to town, I think you're crazy. But I've been spoiled because now we go to these WrestleMania trips. Mm-hmm. I go to different pay-per-views. And everything else, like, to go to a 3-hour Raw taping, like, isn't enticing to me at all. Because I got so much stuff going on. It's like, you know, that's a podcast night. Do I really want to miss that? So it's like, do I really want to burn a night, you know, that I got away from the kids to get out of the house?
See, that's my, like, I'm a single dad, so it's just like, a little thing I can bond with my daughter over, like, because they only come once a year, like, maybe twice a year, and it's going to be once a year coming up. But, you know, and one of those things I can bond. She's six. Four?
Oh, six. Okay.
Yeah, she's six. So it's just like she's right at that age where it's just like I'm really trying to convert her. So it's just like, oh, WF's coming. Ava, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Like big wrestling.
And so she's getting into it. And that's awesome. My daughter, I haven't tried to her. She's 7.5. Mm-hmm. But my son is like inching. He's 4.5 and he likes like if it's on. And I gave him my big box of like the Jax era figures that I have, like much any figure non-Hasbro. So from like 98 on, I have a bunch that I've just collected over the years, and he has all those. And it's like he knows some of them. I have not given him my Hasbros yet because he'll smash them, and I can't deal with that.
Did you have the LJNs too growing up? Because we had the LJNs growing up, and like I swear to God, I gave my brother like 3 concussions in the tub with some of those figures.
I was just like past the LJNs because getting into 90, like that was prime Hasbro era.
Yeah.
And I remember my cousin bought like at a flea market. He ended up with a huge box of them. So we did play with them. I have a few. I think I have like 5 or 6.
Oh, they're terrible. I mean, they can't move. You can't do shit with them. They weigh about 50 pounds. They're basically like weapons of mass destruction.
For sure. Especially King Kong Bundy.
Oh,
that
God.
Motherfucker is like that's rock heft. Solid. you do not want to get hit with King Kong Bundy.
So did you, I mean, was it a constant thing with wrestling for you, or did you kind of fade in and out as you were growing up?
I would say pretty constant. My wheelhouse era is from when I got into it in 90, really revved up in like 91, 92 until 97. Like that is, I mean, locked in. I know like there's some lean years there, like 94, 95, but I was all in. And I had a weird situation. So I went to a Catholic school, but it wasn't in my town because my town wasn't really like a good public school town. And my parents didn't want me going there. And my grandparents lived in this other town. My mom worked there. So it was just easier for them to basically for us to go to this Catholic school. So I didn't have like a lot of friends.
Was yours co-ed? Like, because my Catholic school was all boys.
So elementary was co-ed. High school was all boys.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hard same.
So in elementary school, I had a couple of friends that were really into wrestling, but they didn't live near me. They were like, and you know, it's all Rhode Island close, right? So like, yeah, like 20 minutes, like to anyone else, like Texas or you are now. It's like 20 minutes is like nothing.
Yeah, I miss Rhode Island being so close, although with traffic, like it's pretty much the same deal. But, you know, yeah, no, Rhode Island, like there's nothing that's more than an hour away in Rhode Island.
Right. And it seems everyone's like, oh my God, you're going all the way up there, you know, and it's like 30 minutes. But so anyway, so most of my friends were like at least 20 minutes away and we didn't drive, you know, we're like 10, 11. So I didn't see them a lot outside of school. And so wrestling to me was like such a, like I could watch it. And then I talked to my buddy Jim on the phone or my cousin would come over every Saturday. So that was really just my time. Like that, I was so into it. I was collecting tapes just wherever I could, you know, we would rent them and then dub them. Like, so I have a ton of just like dubbed from videos. A lot I'd record just, you know, once I was able to start ordering pay-per-views, I'd record them all and we'd dub them. So, that was just my time. Like everything was wrestling pretty much, wrestling and sports, and Seinfeld from that era. And then when I went to college in 98, I started to, I didn't fade, which is funny, right? Because that's like the hottest time. Yeah, that's ever.
When I lost it was college because it just like, oh, girls and alcohol, please.
and a little, you know, I remember like the running joke of me and my roommate freshman year was he reached out to me in that summer. It was summer of 98 and wrestling was, I mean, molten hot, right? Out of nowhere, molten hot. And he emails me and we're getting to know each other. He's like, oh, you're a wrestling fan. And I said, no, because I was so used to having to like be embarrassed about it. And he wrote me back. He's like, oh, that's too bad. He's like, I love wrestling. I'm like a diehard. I'm like, oh my God, me too. Like, I'm like alive. So he busted my balls for a while. So that was cool. So I found a few friends right into college, but it was still awkward. Like you didn't want to just say Monday is wrestling. So it took me like a good 4 or 5 months to like be comfortable with it. But there was so much other stuff going on, to your point.
Although you were in the worst city in America for college.
Yes, a lot of snow.
Aside from Jacksonville, like the two worst cities in America are Jacksonville, Florida, and Worcester, Massachusetts. Just
poor Worcester.
Spot the lie. Spot the lie.
Assumption's not a bad place.
It's actually, Assumption's nice. Assumption's nice.
It's a rich area.
Yeah, I had some friends who went there. Holy Cross is kind of nice, but like, yeah. I mean, that's.
You don't want to go to Clark. Clark's the bad area.
Clark's terrible. One of my best friends actually went to Clark. And whoo, he'd it's be scary. Like, you want to come to the party? I'd be like, nope, hard pass.
Well, it's funny because my buddy Jeff, who the sporadic Jeff Learns Wrestling podcast, the place he went there. And I mean, him and I were pretty good friends in high school. And we literally went to college like 9 minutes from each other, whatever it was. And we never hung out in college. And like, we'd talk, but I'm like, it's crazy that him and I went to the college in the same fucking city and we never saw it because I wouldn't go to fucking Clark and he was too lazy to go anywhere. But yeah, so but Worcester did bring me some good memories. I mean, obviously, I went to the Raw there with Foley and Rock and all that. And by the end, like it was back in the open. Like there was I just happened in obviously with the same age show. We were lucky to go. We were lucky to go to college at least during a time where wrestling was cool. Like that was like one of the 4 year stretches where it was cool. Like I remember WrestleMania 18 was St. Patrick's Day. We did have a black box in my dorm room senior year.
Oh, you did what now?
We had a black box.
Oh my God.
Yeah, my buddy had it from home. His brother had it in his college dorm room and he gave it to us. So like we had HBO. Some channels would come and go, but it was pretty awesome. Like we had a bunch of movie channels and the pay-per-view channels. So that whole year, 01 to 02, we watched like every pay-per-view pretty much in our dorm. But 18 was on St. Patrick's Day. We had a huge party. We were like 10, 12 people over. Everyone's drinking, just going nuts for Hogan Rock. And like that was kind of the peak. I'm like, holy shit. Like this is – I never imagined like this would ever happen. You
all,
know?
All the years we put up with it not being cool and having to hide it. Like, you know, oh my God, it's finally cool. Yeah.
It's like I never thought I'd be in college and have like a Steve Austin poster on my wall. You know, it's like nuts to think about. But yeah, so honestly that – And then since it hasn't really waned too much post Benoit for a little bit, there was a dip. And I would say now is probably the most lapsed I've been as far as like really caring about
the modern product.
I have it on now. We're recording. I'm not like studying it. I watch most of the pay-per-views because I have the network and it's not like must see for me. If it's on the side, you know, I got two TVs. So if it's on the other TV, like whatever. For me, going to shows is more about the social aspect these days more than anything. Like WrestleMania, I'm way more into like the tailgate and seeing everyone. It's like a family reunion for me.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Going to the show at this point.
And wait till I get you to go to the indie shows, man. I'm telling you. Woo. Right. I'm getting you to some of those indie shows this year.
You're going to break me in Tampa.
I got to break you.
And it's funny because, God, as a kid, I would have killed for some of the stuff. Like, I literally live, like, Beyond Wrestling is so close, as you know, like, to where I am. And even XWA, like the Taven promotion, I don't know who's even running it. I think it's him. He has a warehouse. It's like not even 10 minutes from my house right now. And right next to where I grew up, like I could have went there every, they have shows every Thursday for $5. I'm like, where was this shit when I was bored out of my mind at like 17? Yeah. I would have been there every week. And now it's like, I can't even find the time to get over there. And it drives me nuts. I'm like, where was this access? You know, I think back to just what I used to have to go through just to, you know, how many times I've seen Survivor Series 89? It's like 100 times.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the thing too. Like, cause I didn't really start going to shows until I was older too. But just like the weird thing is when I was in Boston, I would only really go to Ring of Honor. Cause that's what I could afford and that's what was around. And I didn't really know about the indies. It wasn't until I really moved to Tennessee that I knew about the indies. And now I'm at like different shows every week, but even those shows I'm traveling for, and that's, it's sort of become my thing. But I mean, at the time, like we were growing up, I mean, there might've been these indie groups, but we just didn't know about them.
They weren't even it was weird because they weren't like, well, even like, indie. It was just these little like
one-offs.
Yeah, it's like we had the do you remember the NEWA was around here, the New England Wrestling Alliance?
Yeah,
they were pretty big. They were but they aired on public access. Like that's how I watched them, was on public access. I couldn't even tell you where the shows were. They were just like in gyms or wherever, but I would watch it. I mean, that's how, at the time, you're so wrestling starved because you'd watch anything that was wrestling related that you could find. So public access, they had Backyard Wrestling from this one promotion, and then
you had Backyard Wrestling on public access.
Yes, and it was a big,
amazing,
it was a big deal. They ran for, it had to be a good like 5 years, 6 years. They had a consistent program on public access, like weekly program. And one of the guys that actually ran it toward the end is a town council in the town where I grew up, which is funny. So they had that, and then NEWA I would watch pretty regularly, and they would have some guys come in, like I remember the Warlord and like guys like that would pop up here and there, but Raymond Roy was like the big star there, and he would do job duty on Raw every now and then, but he was like the biggest star. Do you remember Cody Boynes?
Not in the least, no.
Okay, so he did he was out of Duxbury. He did a public access show where he'd literally sit in like the Duxbury public access studio and read the fucking Observer, pretty much.
That sounds amazing, actually.
That's all it was. It was like every Monday at like noon, like, and then like, or like Tuesday at 5. It was like these weird times. So the summer, that was like my appointment TV. Like Mondays at noon, I'm eating my lunch, and I am watching Cody Boynes read the newsletter. Which, and it was amazing. He did it for a long time, but he has like vanished. I wanted to have him on for an interview, and I cannot find him. And I reached out to Brutal Bob, and he kind of teased that he could maybe get a hold of him, and I never heard back about it.
Bob's a gem, by the way.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah,
he's a great guy.
I got to know him because when we were doing Kevin Kelly's show, he had him on a couple of times a few years back, and I was like, you know, let me just ask this guy if he knows about Cody Boynes, because I know he's big on obviously the Massachusetts wrestling scene. And I can't get a hold of Cody. And like, I wanted to just talk to him and be like, dude, you were like my news source for however many years in the 90s.
So you moved. So you went to school, and then you said you moved to Connecticut. That's where you met Scott.
Yes.
Talk about meeting him. Was it love at first sight? Talk about the whole relationship there.
All right. So we moved to Connecticut. I get a job. So I went out after college. I worked pretty much back in my like job at Stop and Shop that I had been at for a few years during high school. And I was looking for anything in TV. I found a promising thing here in Rhode Island, but it kind of faded. And there was this pipeline from Assumption to this company in Stanford, not Dirty F, but it was called Ascent Media at the time. And there was like three people ahead of me that had gone there. So they were starting to create this little feeder system.
Sure.
So I got a hold, they got me in touch there, and I went for an interview and they offered me a job. So we made the decision, my wife now, my girlfriend at the time, to move there and give it a go. So she got a job and we moved in, but we didn't really know like anyone. It was a lot of back and forth, driving home on the weekends. I was working nights. I was working weekends too.
Oh, you're in TV. It's crazy hours.
A lot of off time. Yeah, it was nuts, right? So I'm working, like one shift I had was like 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. You know, it was just all over the place. So we had like no combined social life. So my off nights sometimes were like Tuesday, Wednesday. And so she was just coming home every weekend. So I was pretty much like living alone, working, you know, 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. on a Saturday night. So it was rough. It was rough. But I met – so when I started that job, day one, I met Mark Clare. Him and I were in the same training class.
Oh, cool.
And so we get to know each other, and we obviously quickly figured out we were wrestling fans. So he was kind of my only like wrestling fan friend in Connecticut at that point. I want to say it was around SummerSlam 03. Scott, I think he had just started not that long before. And I would overhear him and someone else talking about wrestling. And I just kind of went up to him. I'm like, oh, hey, you know, I'm like, you're into wrestling or whatever. And honestly, we just started talking, and it was hardcore for me because I didn't have anyone else locally to like do this shit with besides Claire. And it wasn't too long after that he moved to California. So all of a sudden I had a guy who was single that like didn't have, you know, I don't want to say didn't have a ton going on, but he was free to talk and watch wrestling.
You can say he didn't have a ton going on. It's okay.
He was a loser. No, he had shit going on, but we had the ability to be able to get together basically once or twice a week to watch wrestling, to watch pay-per-views. You know, I met Dr. G, Scott's buddy George. He was into wrestling. So all of a sudden I had this little family again to watch wrestling with. And
Scott's from there, right?
Yes, Scott is from East Haven. I think it's East Haven, mm-hmm. West Haven. I always mix it up. He's going to yell at me. One of the Havens. Whatever's the less shitty one. He's from.
The less shitty one. The one that's not riddled with crime, yes.
I should know. He went to New Haven for college. I know that. Him and G. So, yeah, he's from there. So he moved into an apartment sometime in late 03, early 04, and he didn't have cable for a bit because they were waiting for DirecTV or whatever to be installed. So he started just like going through his tapes, and he's like, hey, I'm just going to start watching the pay-per-views in order, and I'm just going to write these little reviews, and I'm going to send them to like three people. He's like, send them to like me, G, and like someone else. I'm like, all right, cool, I'll read them. So he sent them to me, and I'm like, you know, this is pretty neat. So he was like maybe into like 8 and 9, and I started joining him. And we literally, this is how we started doing our stuff together. We would write these crappy reviews. They were fucking terrible. And just send them to like 8 people that we knew. And like, that's all we did. We just sent them. And then we ended up posting them to my buddy's message board. And then eventually we found Graham Koth on site and we started sending them to him. And we kind of revised them. Like we went back, we fixed them up and freshened them up. And it just kind of grew from there. Scott Keith, we started posting with him. And all along the way, we're, you know, obviously building our friendship. I'd be working late nights. He'd be home because we worked together, but he had a different job. He worked a more normal shift. So we would watch the pay-per-views together, like on the phone. So we would literally be talking from like 10 at night till 1 in the morning.
That's
like
adorable.
Together, right? It's
absolutely adorable. I mean,
that's all it was. He would usually fall asleep halfway through, but I'd be talking to myself for 5 minutes before realizing he was out, and then I'd just hang up on him. We'd talk in the morning. But yeah, that's what we do. We just would literally just talk wrestling, shitty takes and all, shitty reviews and all, and then we just kept doing the written stuff for a long time. That's kind of how we got founded by, you know, a lot of our readers found us just through Graham's site, reading the reviews.
So at what point do you guys decide, because podcasting was a very new thing 8.5 years ago. Not many people were doing it. Not many people knew how to do it. Mm-hmm. And so what made you guys decide, you know, we're going to make a radio show or make a podcast here?
So Scott's background, obviously we both had a media background. Yeah. Mine was more TV. His was radio. So he had been in radio for a long time, like in the 90s. He had done news updates, had hosted shows. So he had a heavy radio background that he had pretty much given up because of the hours and the money. So that's when he got hired at Ascent. So then his buddy Mike, who actually passed away earlier this year, he had kind of started off his own little internet streaming radio station, Get the Point Radio. And he had Scott start doing a sports show and a wrestling show. And that was 2010, I want to say. And what was interesting about it was they could only do it, you know, you'd only hear it at certain times because it was a streaming radio. It wasn't on demand, right? So his show aired at like, you know, whatever, Wednesday at 2 p.m. Say. So I'm at my desk and I'm trying to listen and I'm like, man, like, I want to hear your show, but it sucks that like it's at these weird times and it's not, you know, it's not on demand. And it was around that time I was starting to listen to Lagana and I really discovered The Law. So every Monday, like, Live Audio Wrestling was my jam. Like every Monday morning at work, I would listen to that. And then they would have Review Away after that. So like those are my two earliest ones.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. Yeah.
I would listen to and then Review Raw. And I mean, those guys are great and they're still great. So I was listening to them and I joined their message board. And I was just really getting into the concept of it. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. I can listen to it whenever I want. And then I found the Smart Wrestling Fan. Did you ever hear them?
No.
So they were semi-big. It was just one of those things, like, you're just searching iTunes, like wrestling. You know, you're trying to find anything you can. And there's only so many. And they were pretty good. But Pollock and Ting were kind of where it was at. So the other guy I remember meeting on the message board was Jay Hunter from the OSW podcast review family. So they're big time now. They're like awesome megastars. And Jay was like killing it at that point. So I talked to Scott and I'm pushing him. And I'm like, dude, I know you feel like you're loyal to Mike. I'm like, if you're willing, and he had me on for an interview on that show, and I did one of the reviews of them. And I'm like, I had a great time. Like, I think we'd be really good if we just did something. I'm like, but I don't want to do internet streaming. I said, because I hate the fact that it's certain times. I'm like, this is kind of where things are going. Being able to listen to it at any point on your iPod at the gym, like, this is where it's going to be. Like, look at Lagana's like picking up steam. I think Cabana had started to come out by then. And then Law, I'm like, this shit is like, let's just try it. And so we had no idea really what we were doing. Like, I just used my Mac. I didn't have a mic. Like, I just did some research. I talked to Jay Hunter. I just got a Podbean account, and honestly, we just went for it. I was like, one night we just finally sat down in February of 11 and started recording. And my idea originally was not to have like a schedule, but just to be like, hey, this baseball game was awesome tonight. Let's talk about it for 20 minutes and post it. Oh, Raw is going to be lit tonight. Let's talk about it. Or there's a pay-per-view coming. Let's do a quick like that was my original idea for this podcast.
Current events sort of stuff.
Yeah, just kind of like what, or even old school, like whatever was on our mind. The Vintage Vault piece was always going to be there, like doing our, because that was kind of where we had come from, like doing the written reviews. So that was always going to be part of it. But my other concept was, hey, the Big East tournament's coming up. Let's grab three guys and preview it. Like, and you can see that in some of those early ones. Like, that's what we were doing. And then we just kind of fell into more of a schedule and just kind of learned along the way. But the biggest influences were definitely Pollock and Ting. And what I got most from them was the idea to do like feedback and bring your audience into the family. And because they were awesome at that, like they would have the thread up on the message board, you'd put your feedback and they'd read it every episode. So I blatantly stole that from them. And that's how we really started to build some of our initial following, was just by like reading feedback and making people inclusive. And it was originally through our message board and then through Facebook, pretty much simultaneously. But Facebook was really just starting to kind of catch on more and more too at that point, as like as far as group chat and messenger chat.
And Twitter was really a thing until, you know, so yeah, Facebook was really where it was at if you were going to go anywhere.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Twitter had, I mean, Twitter was out there, but it definitely wasn't known or too overwhelmingly popular. So Facebook is really where we kind of made our bones early on. And then Jay Hunter is like really was a huge help to me as far as like understanding how to edit, when to post. He helped me like get stuff posted. At that time, you could actually post files to Facebook and stream from there. So we would do that. Yeah, we'd post them on our Facebook page. Jeez. And the funny thing is, for the first 100 episodes, I didn't edit a thing. We would play the open from my phone I think it was from my phone. I think I had an iPhone then. It might have even been off my computer. We would play it and record all in one take with sound bites. Break would be played off the computer, and then I would just post the file. I didn't know how to edit until episode 100. So the first 100 episodes are all like one take, everything in one.
They were still good, though. I mean, they were very good.
Yeah, no, I agree. For sure. Except for the first few, I sound awful. Like I sound like I'm so scared in those first few. But no, they were. And you know what? The quality wasn't as important back then. Like if you listen, I've been like revisiting a lot of where the Big Boys play with Parv and Chad. And even some of that stuff, like back in 2012, it's like the audio quality is so shaky. But it's whatever. Like we were also thirsty for wrestling audio content from fans and like insightful fans and stuff like message boards like Death Valley Driver and PWO, where guys were all of a sudden starting to study this obscure shit that like you just never had this opportunity to have these conversations with before on like a wide scale. Like, oh my God, these guys are reviewing Great American Bash 9. This is awesome. So the audio quality wasn't as important because it just wasn't A, the standards weren't established yet, and B, there was only so many limited options, you didn't care. So it didn't really hurt us at that point to have like that level of audio, you know?
So at what point do you make the decision to bring other podcasts on and turn this into an empire sort of deal?
So we had started to bring in, it was only me and Scott from February 11 until January of 14. And we had tons of guests, right? we would do different stuff. We do headlines, we would do live watches, and we started bringing in more and more friends of ours, either personal friends or folks just from like the different message boards we had been on. I had my friend John Walters on, who's an independent wrestler. He worked under RJ Brewer. Yep. He was a pure champion in ROH for a bit there too. He actually did a little comeback tour earlier this year, and I think he's back into retirement now. And so we had him on a couple of times, and he got me in touch with a few guys. Like, we interviewed Stevie Richards because of him. And then he was friends with Kevin Kelly, and Scott and I, in our timeline, were up to October of 96 in our WWF pay-per-view review. And I asked John, I'm like, do you think we could get Kevin Kelly on? Because I'm like, one of my favorite wrestling moments ever is Austin breaking into Pillman's house. And I'm like, this is like iconic scene to me. Those are like two of my all-time favorites. Kevin is like on the scene. He's awesome in that moment. I'm like, do you think we could get Kevin on? So he got us in touch with Kevin, and Kevin came on. And we had a great time, and that ended up being a regular spot. We'd have Kevin Kelly on. And it bothers me a little bit still to this day, but I feel like he was kind of the original, like, doing the Pritchard, Bischoff, you know, whatever stuff. Because, like, we had Kevin on in 2012 and 13.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Full year retrospectives, mm-hmm. like Q&As. Like, we would go through the whole year of 97. Like, all right, Kevin, what about this? What about this? And those shows did extremely well. So around like late 13, well, all right, so backing up just a little bit. So at this point in early 13, Kevin's a regular guest. We have a lot of regular rotation people on, but we're still operating off Facebook and the message board. We go to WrestleMania 29 in MetLife, and that is where kind of Place to Be Nation was born, because that was our first big, real big tailgate. We met a ton of people that were fans of the show. That was kind of our first big, like, gathering. And
well, you sort of realized this is a thing, or?
Well, not even yet. Mm-hmm. We did realize it was a thing as far as, like, holy shit, like, we have kind of developed this, like, family, like, all these people that didn't know each other, and now we're all kind of friends. But that is where I met listener Brad Woodling, who I knew from Scott Keith's blog a little bit. And he reached out to me about a month or so after Mania, and he's like, have you guys ever thought about starting an actual, like, website? He's like, I've hosted websites before, I've managed them. He's like, I think it'd be cool, you could do your written stuff, you could post your podcasts. I'm like, yeah, sure, why not, let's go for it. So Scott, I, and myself, and Brad, and Chad Campbell were kind of like the original four that really launched the site. I had met Chad in 2012 when they had us on Where the Big Boys Play, and him and I quickly became friends. So we kicked off the site in June of 13. And still pretty much, I think, just Place to Be Podcast at that point. The Pro Wrestling Only feed launched around that time. So we brought Where the Big Boys Play, Titans of Wrestling. Like, some of those shows started to crop up, and they were pretty much in our family. But on our actual feed was still just a Place to Be Podcast. Mm-hmm. Late 13, we had the idea to ask Kevin Kelly if he wanted to do his own show, with the thought that Scott and I would taper a little bit and then replace one of our bi-weekly episodes with the Kevin Kelly show. So that was really kind of the first one, and then Scott started Main Event along with it to fill the gap of like current stuff. So January 14 is where that started, and then it just kind of expanded from there. We started doing more and more stuff, and you know, we started splitting off. Instead of doing whatever on our show, we just started live watch podcasts on its own thing, and then we started doing a sports show, and then Richer and the Mailman, and then this and that. And then eventually Brad said, hey, I'm going to start a feed just for pop stuff because we're getting overloaded. And that's where the pop feed started, with the comics programming we have and everything else. So it was just a slow and then rapid evolution from like 14 to 16, where things kind of really blew up.
Yeah, because you guys are known for having a really wide variety of podcasts. Mm-hmm. Now, was that kind of always in the back of your head, or was it just like, oh, you know, let's try this, let's try that, let's try this?
I will say it was never in my head, honestly. Okay, sure. It was, my head was always that Scott and I have this show, and we're going to have lots of guests on, we're going to do different things, and we'll expand that way. It kind of just naturally came out of the website, and then having Kevin in the mix to do the Kevin Kelly show, and then realizing, hey, we could start outsourcing some of these ideas. And then just from there, kind of grew into thinking, well, it'd be cool to branch out a bit. And I was thinking, like, you know, I'd like to do a show with Will or do a show with whoever, and we just started kind of, you know, breeding these other stuff. And I've gone through, you know, it's kind of a running joke, I've had like 9 different podcast partners throughout the stretch here, but Scott and I have endured this whole time. But yeah, I don't think it was ever a plan. It seemed that's where things were headed, like at that time frame, from like in the 2014, 15, 16 time frame, just in the podcast industry, seemed to be more and more, you know, blow it out. Like, how many voices can you get on your podcast? Who's in, who's out? And you kind of drawn lines, but everyone kind of felt like Voices of Wrestling came around, Pro Wrestling Only, their feed really started to blossom. Our feed started to blossom, you know, so more and more of these started to come about. And, you know, and they still kind of have a bunch of different shows, even though you have the flagship, like VOW says, and others. Ours is our show. So it's, I think it was just kind of the industry, I guess, at the time was going that way. I do always wonder sometimes, like, what it would have been if it was just me and Scott just going, but I have no regrets. Like, I think we have a lot of cool content, a lot of great shows, you know, yours included on the feed. And it's the most proud part to me, and I'm not in it. Like, I want people to hear my stuff, but I'm not in it for hits and downloads. And it's why I don't have a Patreon. It's why I don't, you know, tweet a million times a day trying to get people to listen to the show, like gimmick stuff. To me, the reward has been the community that we've built. And like, those WrestleMania tailgates are just a snapshot of that community.
Oh yeah.
So, like, we can bring together like 20 to 25 people from around the world and party like we've been family for like 20 years. You know, like, that's like the coolest thing to me. It's like a frat in a way. Right? We have like these frat reunions once a year where we just ball out for a weekend and everyone just has a great time. I mean, New York was awesome. Like, there's just no drama, no way, you know, like, everyone just fucking parties and has fun. Everyone, you know, talks and mingles. Like, look at that tailgate this year, Ben. It made it, like, everyone's just rotating around. Everyone's talking.
Oh, it's a blast. There's no awkwardness. It's been, I wouldn't miss it for the world. I mean, it's, you know, and I've only been, I think, three of them now, and I wouldn't miss it for the world, because it's just like, it's like you said, it's like going back to old family, you know, and you're meeting, and I'm meeting 25 new people every time I go, and just like, by the end of the tailgate, it's like, oh, you're my brother, basically, you know, and I think this year is going to be even more so because I have a show, because it's just like, I can't wait to meet some of these voices. And these people who've been helping me out, and these people, you know, so it's just, it's, you know, maybe the highlight of WrestleMania weekend for me is your tailgate.
Oh, 100%. I mean, seeing everyone is the true highlight. And then that tailgate is like the culmination of it. And, God, yeah, it's so great. I mean, honestly, it's a blast. And it's funny because people, I know some of you people are out on WWE and like, oh, it's so expensive, but even like, beyond WrestleMania, just that whole weekend is such like,
or for
you just
me, the
get
week.
Lost in it. Right. And yeah, right. You're there the whole week. And it's like, you just get caught up in it. It's like such it's stuff you dreamed of as a wrestling fan growing up, as a shut in wrestling fan. It's like all of a sudden that you're in this major mainstream metropolis with thousands of people that love wrestling like you do. And it's just a giant party with 30 to 40 to 50 wrestling shows, wrestlers walking everywhere, fans walking everywhere. You go around the block, you can just go drink with a bunch of fans. You know, it's like, and even this year we did the party with the Mania Club guys, and they were all super welcoming. It was just you just walking around.
They were nice,
around.
Yeah. It was nice. Yeah.
Party atmosphere. It's like you're just walking around, everyone's dressed up. And
Steph McMahon shows up.
Right, Steph McMahon, right? Who would expected that? Yeah, it's just so cool. Like, I always encourage anyone, if you can afford it, and you love wrestling, it's such a worthwhile trip just for the camaraderie of it all. It's like, and we're welcoming. I mean, if you're on the fence and you don't know, you don't want to be like, whatever, like, come hang with us, right? It's beyond even the tailgate. Like, we all just meet up on and off throughout the weekend, and who's at what bar, oh, we're meeting here, who's at what show, let's get together, let's grab food. It's just become all of that. And it's like, yeah, it's just like seeing your extended family. Like, love seeing Big Pete and, you know, the crew. It's like, you know, everyone just get to run into, and just, I look forward to that Big Pete bear hug every year. So,
oh, he's the best. He stays with me every once in a while and comes to shows out here, and he's just, and I wouldn't be as close to him if it wasn't for you guys, you know, because when I met him, I'm just like, you have that show on Place to Be Nation, and we immediately bonded.
Oh, and he's
now
such a sweet
kid's yeah. like family to me now, you know. I'm actually probably going to head out to Austin in the winter time, I think, to go see him.
He's the best.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I had completely blanked that you came to the Orlando tailgate. Mm-hmm. I was looking at pictures the other day. I was posting some like random ones like to kind of hype the group.
Oh, I'm in the back.
I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm like, Ben was there. I was like, saw you in the picture. I remember like New Orleans, obviously, hanging out at the bar like quite a bit. But I just like Orlando now seems like such a haze in so many ways. But so did you come solo for that one? Like, you just met up with us?
Orlando?
Yeah.
That was the one.
We're like in that random parking lot behind that building.
No, I came with Pete.
Okay, so you came with Pete for that.
Yeah, I met Pete that weekend.
Okay,
and then
gotcha.
Pete invited me.
Right. All right. Yeah, that's right. I remember him messaging me now saying, "My buddy Ben, you care if he comes?" That's right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Pete invited me. I'm just like, dude. When he said you guys were having a tailgate, I'm like, my God, like, can I please? Like, I've been listening to these guys for like, you know, 5 years now. Like, you know, I would be absolutely honored. And then you guys have become family ever since.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like everyone just comes in and that's my yearly chance to see Claire make a mess of himself. Like, that's always a highlight. And no, it's a great time.
I'd say it's my yearly chance to be an enabler, but that's not entirely true at all.
You definitely do enable with your Tennessee whiskey was the biggest hit this year. And the sipping cream, I believe.
I'll bring more of that this year, too.
Yeah, that was a hit. All of it was a hit. Yeah, such a time. I can't. It's already, like, tickets are already on sale next week. It's nuts. It's like how fast it comes.
Yeah, I need to line up for that because I don't know what else I'm doing in Tampa, but I know I'm going to your tailgate, and that's pretty much it. That's all I have planned so far. I know I'm going to the Collective in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
And what's probably going to end up happening is I'm going to try to break my record of 12 shows in 4 days, and you're going to see me, and I'm going to be a zombie.
That's okay. You do, and that's you hit the adrenaline. I mean, look, I slept, I think, for like 4 hours in 5 days in New Orleans. So, I mean, you could do it. You could power through.
And that's the thing. I got to get you to come to some of these indie shows because, like, that's really where it's at. And, I mean, the Collective and stuff like that, it's unbelievable. Like, Janela Spring Break, there's nothing like Joey Janela Spring Break.
I'm going to hit one. Like, I got to do Takeover, but I don't think I'm not doing SmackDown or anything. So I'll be around, like, Friday night. I get in Thursday night this year. I made a deal with my wife. I said, here's it. And she's really cool. I shouldn't make it like I have to beg, borrow, and steal this stuff. But I try and be at least considerate in some level. So I did a bunch like in the spring that was real condensed. I went to Mania. And then there was like three shows all jammed in that I kind of like unknowingly booked myself for. But it was all like in this 6 week span. Money in the Bank came to Hartford. And then Takeover came to fucking Bridgeport. It's like, who knew? Like, Takeover was freaking, right? So like all this stuff got jammed. And it was like a lot. So I told her, I said, look, I will not go to a wrestling show between June and Mania. But I'm going to do an extended Mania. Like, that is my trade-off. So, and when I say not a wrestling show, like, not like a thing where I'm gone for like a day or multiple days. Like, you know, if it's something local, whatever, that's one thing. So I'm like, I promise I won't go away for like multiple days again until this. So that was my deal that I put on the table. She didn't ask for it. I just put it on the table. So I was able to we booked our flight. So I'm leaving Thursday evening from here. So I'll be into Tampa by Thursday night, and we're leaving Monday like early afternoon. So this is the longest I'll be around.
I'm probably leaving Tuesday.
Oh yeah, you'll be there. You'll be there for the week.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought to bring Ava there, or is that like too much for her for that many days? And you kind of want your time for that weekend.
She's school, and I'm with all my friends, and it's, you know, five dudes piled into an Airbnb that fits three people, and it's just not wildly conducive for a 6-year-old girl. But I mean, I have these, you know, dreams and visions, and I'm sure you do too, of like eventually taking my kid to WrestleMania.
You know? Yes and no. Like, my dream is to take them to everything but WrestleMania.
Oh, fair.
Like, I want them to be really into it and like come, but like I kind of selfishly just want that to be like my weekend and just like my week. Like, that is my blow off steam, act like a fucking idiot for like 3-day weekend. Mm-hmm. I will take them to every other show in the world. Maybe someday I'll take them to at least one, I guess, to get them to one. But
I have SCI, and those are my two that are just like, this is my time. This is the only vacation time I take. Like,
and like, that is your blow off steam getaway. And I've told my wife, I'm like, you pick your weekend. I'm like, and I'll watch, like, do whatever. Like, go do your thing once, you know, it's once a year. Let's do our thing, you know, like, do our weekend. And Mania is mine every year. I've said it. I'm really hoping for Vegas next year. That'd be pretty fucking sweet.
I might not go.
No,
because I'd factually die.
I keep you alive. I'm hoping they're going to do West Coast at some point. Vegas is better than LA, so I'm hoping for Vegas.
Yeah, I heard it was going to be LA next year just because of the new stadium, but Vegas would be insane. Vegas would be absolutely insane.
Yeah, Vegas would be pretty sweet. I love it. I was just there this year. It's a great time, and there's so much to do. And I just think it'd be easier all around than LA. But whatever, I'm in either way. Like, I'm just going to go wherever.
Oh,
it's kind of where I'm at this point. But
yeah, I also heard Toronto was a maybe too, so.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. I've never actually been up there, so I need to get to Toronto at some point because I heard it's like the nicest city that's ever existed.
No, same. Are you gonna come back for Boston SummerSlam next year?
Probably not. Probably not. I don't know. I only get so much time. So
yeah, true. You gotta save it for the
Gotta save it because I take that full week in Mania, and my boss like freaks out anyways when I'm away for those days. So
right.
I work in a two-man operation, and I'm the you know So yeah, it's just it's me and limited. Him. Yeah, sure. It's limited, definitely. So from here, actually, you know what we should do? We should go through the live read.
Okay.
And you and I should talk about some of these shows because you're more familiar with a lot of these shows than I am. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with a few of them, but on the pop feed, Scott and Jennifer wrapped up October with a month-long tribute to Halloween with What a Scream, the History of Horror in America special.
Yeah, no, I don't like horror at all. Yeah. I'm very out on horror. But there are a lot of folks on our in our family here that love it. And they did a phenomenal job in October, like really bringing the spooky horror Halloween feeling, which I commend. Like Scott did a bunch of pod blasts, like reviewing some classic like monster movies. They did this show. Jennifer did a couple freak out drive-ins on her feed. So like they went hard in. Miranda ran the hashtag that we had for like Halloween movie month. So they really went all in on like the Halloween stuff, which was pretty cool to see. As much as I don't like it, it was cool like to see the engagement and everyone kind of huddle around it.
See, I grew up one town over from Salem, so I'm just totally ruined for Halloween for the rest of my life.
That's it. That was the peak.
So just like no, because I just associate it with like horrible tourists. And right. Like money making schemes, basically. So just like, oh man, yeah, that's my life. Wonderful Halloween. Yeah, I live it.
You know, it's funny. I've never been up there for Halloween.
It's a tourist trap.
Yeah, I've only been there for a wedding. That's the only time I've actually been to Salem.
It's nice. There are nice parts and there are very bad parts. But in October, it is a massive tourist trap that you probably should do once and then never do again.
Right. Yeah, maybe when the kids are old enough, we'll head up there. Yeah,
they might enjoy it. Hard Traveling Fanboys are back with the latest edition of Fix It or Nix It, 2015's Fantastic Four. Hard Traveling Fanboys, that I actually have not heard that show. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so that's Greg Phillips and Nick Duke. Mm-hmm. That is the longest-running episodic weekly comics podcast in all of Placebo Nation. Mm-hmm. So they've been going for a while. They're into the I forget what episode number they're on, but they've been going for a long time. I met them way back on the old Blog of Doom. It was Scott Keith's Blog of Doom, and that split off into a separate Blog of Doom. That's a whole other fucking podcast in itself. They're in 185 episodes, so they've been pretty much weekly on point. And they are longtime friends, very well, know comics very well. And they do all kinds of different like gimmick episodes and have different guests on. So they are a good authority when it comes to comic stuff. And they do a great job. They've been doing that show forever.
DC For You delivers an in-depth look at the current events from this month.
Yeah, so that is Russell Sellers and Todd Weber. They take a weekly look at all things DC. So we have a show, I don't think it's in this read here, but we have a show that specifically focuses on Marvel, like the history of Marvel, and these guys focus on DC to kind of balance that out. So they do both current and classic DC stuff.
This week in the NFL, obviously, you know, it's a weekly NFL review show. Roger and Johnny recapping the last set of games. Watching Giants and Cowboys here. I'm sure you get a lot of sports, you know, sports crossover too with the site.
Oh yeah, tons. And we ebb and flow as far as like sports podcasts go. I think I got Cowboy on the hook to do a classic boxing podcast off our Place to Be podcast episode. Our last episode, we'll get to in a minute, I guess, what we talked about. But I got him all hyped up to maybe do like a boxing show, like maybe like monthly or something. So he might be doing that. But yeah, they do this week in the NFL. And then also the NBA team, Adam Murray and Andrew Reich. That was one of our first split off shows. They've been doing that since like 2013. And they do a great job previewing the NBA. So, and they didn't know each other before they started that show. I went to college with Adam, and I knew Reish just from the internet. And I just hooked them up. I'm like, you guys both love the NBA. You should do the show together. And they've literally done it now for like almost 6 years. Like, awesome. They've become good friends just through doing it. So it's kind of cool. And they have good chemistry. So that's, you know, just a couple of the sports stuff we have on there.
You got a newer podcast, the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast. And looks like they've been watching The Office going through.
Yeah, that's a fun listen, too. Kevin, who's been a longtime fan of the Place to Be podcast, I had kind of caught it on Twitter that he was hyping this new show him and his sister were doing, and checked it out, and then he just kind of noticed I had been retweeting them here and there, and he thanked me, and I said, hey, you know what? You're interested in bringing it on board? And yeah, they are basically chronologically going through The Office, so they're halfway through season 3 right now.
The Great Debate, Andy's welcomes Nate Milton, Peter Winston, and Matt Souza to discuss a variety of topics in sports and pop culture. That's kind of a catch-all show, isn't it?
Yeah, so Andy does that, I don't know, every couple of months. He's got like this rotation of shows. And it might be monthly, bi-monthly, around there. And yeah, he basically just brings in a round table, and it's sports, pop culture, whatever's going on out there. He'll basically do like 3 or 4 rounds, I guess I'll call it, where he throws out a question and the round table just debates things. And anytime you get Nate Milton on a podcast is a must listen as well, because he's
great. Best. He's absolutely great. As is Peter.
Oh, yeah, he's okay.
He's okay. New Diamond Conversations looks like a new podcast you got. You actually had someone from my high school on last week, and it looks like this week you got a former Mets minor league pitching prospect TJ Chisholm on.
Yeah, our buddy Chad B reached out to us. He pitched this idea for a show. He has a lot of friends and colleagues within the world of baseball. So he said, hey, I can, if you guys, I'd love to. Basically, it was a show he'd been wanting to do for a while and asked if we'd be interested in it. So he pitched it and we ran with it. Yeah, it's called Diamond Conversations. And he's had two really good guests so far, like legit guys that have had baseball careers. So it's an interesting listen for those that are really kind of into like baseball and behind the scenes and whatnot.
And then Laugh-In Theater, Andy and Miranda are watching Beetlejuice.
Yeah, so it's another Andy Adlerton show. It's just a live watch comedy movie pod. So he regularly, every month, just has a new guest on and they watch a movie. I was on with him a few months ago. We watched Dogma. And this month,
how did that age, by the way? I haven't watched that since it first came out.
I like it a lot. I thought it held up well.
Okay.
It spiraled me into like my thoughts on Catholicism, which went rogue. But I thought the movie holds up well. But I'm also a pretty big, like, original Kevin Smith fan. So.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah, I go way back to like high school. We just watch Kevin Smith movies every weekend, basically.
Yeah, to me it held up. I found it pretty funny still.
Which one does not hold up? Chasing Amy.
Yeah, not a
real
fan
bad. Used to love it. Now it's just like, whoo, does not hold up at all. Real problematic.
Yeah, are you gonna see the new Jay and Silent Bob?
Yeah, they're actually coming to Chattanooga to do the showing. In, I think, 2 weeks, and I think I'm going to go to it.
Oh, nice. That'd be cool.
And then on the wrestling feed, I'm sorry, the greatest sitcom of all time tournament is starting soon, too. That seems right up everyone's alley there, and should be some really good debate there.
Yeah, we had a really big tournament over the summer, the greatest song of the 80s, and that like did really well, a lot of engagement. So if you liked that Facebook page, and also on Twitter is where we had the polls, but it just converted over that same page. You didn't have to like a new page. Mm-hmm. So now our next one's going to be determining the greatest sitcom, and we loaded that thing up again. Like our tournaments, we always go big. So there's like 250 or whatever sitcoms in this thing. So those polls will go up. Usually we do like 4 a day on the social media pages, and it's so easy. You just like the page or follow us on Twitter, and you just pick the one you like better. Like that's it. It's so easy to do, and it pop up in your feed every day. Usually like noon, 1 o'clock. So that'll be starting very soon. Andy actually announced the regions and the top seeds today. On the Facebook page, so that info is out there. So that should be firing up really soon.
And then the wrestling feed, you're bringing back some of the older shows, which I love, by the way, because that was the stuff that originally got me first into the feed, stuff like Where the Big Boys Play and Titans of Wrestling and things like that. So you've been bringing back some of the Where the Big Boys Play episodes. This one's on Great American Bash 88, but man, I don't miss those at all. And I just sit around the house and just listen to like shows that I've already heard from like 6 years ago.
So here's the funny story behind that. So those obviously originally aired on the PWO feed, and I missed a bunch at the time. I'd hear here and there. I missed like the lead up until when I kind of met Chad, like in when I was like they were already into 89 almost, and I wanted to re-listen to them. And I talked to him, and we ended up messaging Parv, and we were just like, hey, you know, what if like we've kind of turned over like guys like you were still around, obviously. Yeah. We've also brought in we have a lot of churn of like newer listeners, or like this is such a great show that so many people just have not heard. Like, what if we just repost them on this feed now? And selfishly, so I could then have them fresh on my app, my podcast app to listen to, because now that's like my, you know, when I'm ready for a new one, I'll post it. But yeah, again, audio quality a little shaky, but the content, the quality still holds up. I love that show. Obviously, I'm a big Chad Campbell guy.
And it brings Parv back into our lives.
Yes, for better or worse. But yeah, that show is still really, really good. That's why I run it.
My show, I had AJ Gray on last week. You should listen to it. AJ did awesome. He's probably the most outspoken independent wrestler I know. So he did a real good job on the show last week. And
Until ACH gets fired in a couple weeks.
AJ might be worse, actually. AJ will randomly, AJ might be more outspoken, trust me.
And I want to give you credit on your show because, you know, I think we were in a drunken haze at Mania and you were like, dude, I always wanted to start. I'm like, anything you want, man. Like, just you send it to me and we're going to run it. And you have not, I think you've missed what, maybe a week since you started, and you had no real experience, right? I mean, you pretty much
I had no idea. Yeah. I still don't know what I'm doing.
But, yeah, you know. Do though, because you came in and your show was polished, edit, like you learned it, you committed to it, and you've run it with like, kudos, man. Like,
I appreciate it.
You've done an awesome
totally
job.
On the fly. Like, totally on the fly. Content.
Yeah, you don't know it. I mean, and it speaks to your network that you've built up of friends. Like we talked about it earlier, just all the travel and meeting different people and folks and becoming friends and building these relationships. Like you just get these guys on the show every week and it's out there. So it's cool stuff.
With this ring, you guys just started the show. Ryan and Cindy look at five matches and discuss on his GWE list and Cindy's list.
Yeah, so cool Ryan is a OG PTP like you. Like he's been around forever. We actually met him and his wife SummerSlam. I want to say it was 15 or 16 in Brooklyn. They came and they hung out at the meetup. So his wife is super cool. And he asked me, he's like, I've been thinking about this show, or me and my wife, like, she's kind of like a fringy wrestling fan. He's like, I want to watch old stuff with her and talk about it. And I thought it was a cool idea. So they ran a pilot and sent it over and we decided to go with it. So I don't know how consistent that'll be, but it'll pop up now and then.
Place to Be podcast. No one's ever heard of it. Who cares?
Yeah, who knows?
Something talk about new. The Halloween Spooktacular.
So at this point, the Place to Be podcast is pretty much just like Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. Mm-hmm. We don't really veer off too much, but our Halloween episode has always tried to be a little different every year. Like we've gone away from like the Halloween theme that we used to do, but it's the ninth time we've done a Halloween specific episode. And we always try and do a little something different. So last year we did a live watch of Ready to Rumble, which was a lot of fun. And this year, because in our timeline of our Vintage Vaults, we are in early 1990, we thought it'd be cool to do a live watch of the Tyson Douglas boxing championship match because that plays a role, obviously, in the main event where Buster Douglas took Tyson's spot in the Hogan Savage match as a referee. So we had the Cowboy, Roger Morissette, Andy Atherton, and Matt Souza on, and we did a live watch of that fight. And during that is when I was able to fire up Roger to try and get him to do the boxing podcast. But Scott, I also went through, I recently finished watching the Marvel shows on Netflix. So him and I broke that down too for about a half hour beforehand.
And then probably my favorite new podcast, just because I'm the biggest ECW fan. And that just tickles my nostalgia bone. Extreme Three-Way Dance, you and John and Otto. Jenny, John D'Amato and Jenny just talk about what, four or five ECW episodes per show. And or a pay-per-view and just go through them, and you guys are hysterical.
Thank you. I appreciate it. This is what I've wanted to do for a while. Like ECW is such a blind spot for me. We just didn't get it where I was, right? So, and by the time I really started to watch it, it was like the TNN era. So
I got it, right? In Boston? It was on the Spanish channel.
Oh, geez.
At midnight on Saturdays, and it was after WAAF Real Rock Television. So I, you know, God forbid I didn't have dates on Saturday night. So I'd get home and watch WAAF and see all my favorite metal bands, and then I'd watch ECW.
So that was the Boston-specific Spanish era, so I wouldn't have gotten
Worcester,
that.
It was Worcester in Boston, WUNI. Okay. Yeah, okay. Based out of Worcester, actually.
Because we did have a Univision channel, but I didn't. Maybe we got it. And I just never noticed, which would suck. So I didn't see a lot of this stuff. And I've like once the network kept pumping more and more out, I really started to want to do something. I tried to do a written thing that didn't take. And then finally, once they posted the super cards, like a bulk of them, I'm like, all right, I got to finally just do this. So I reached out to Jennifer and D'Amato. I thought it'd be a pretty fun trio. And the running joke, of course, is JT and Jennifer Smith. So JT Smith, who's one of the stars right now in 1994. But yeah, we do three or four episodes a week of TV or the supercard that's up. So we're into June of 94. We have Hostile City Showdowns coming up in a couple weeks. That'll be our next big show.
And then the hardest working lady, maybe on the internet, like full stop, mm-hmm. Jennifer Smith has a new feed.
Yes.
The Jenny position.
Yeah, so she had a lot of shows and... I think it was her just looking to kind of brand herself and run her own schedule and, you know, kind of, you know, she loves being part of Place to Be Nation, loves the pop feed. She still obviously does a ton of editing and helping with that stuff. But she just kind of wanted to build her own thing. So we encouraged her. We said, go for it. That was a great idea. So all of her shows are on this feed, Geek and Sassy, which is her and Miranda. They do random kind of geek pop culture talk previews and stuff like that. Talking Pop, her and Tim Capel host that, where they do different kind of, like this actually, kind of interviews like this with various folks. Freak Out Drive-In is a live watch horror movie podcast, which I listen to with clenched teeth. And then Telling Stories is a new one she's doing, which is really cool. She basically has reached out to artists on the internet and authors who have written like short stories, and she reads them like dramatically and puts music in behind them and stuff like that. So it's kind of a cool way to get exposure for like local writers out there. So if there's anyone out there that does like short stories or little written stuff, like creative writing, she's looking for stories to read. And she also has like a kind of local artist she reached out to for like music for her show and stuff like that. So it's a really cool feed, and I recommend you subscribe to it, The Jenny Position on iTunes and everywhere else.
And then we got the website too. We're doing a lot of things on the website. We're doing the SmackDown and Fox Report, This Week in WWE, DVD Deep Dive, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, which is not me.
Nope,
and then
different Ben.
Glenn's Weekly Walk every Wednesday. We're doing Scott and Logan have their campus hot takes talking about college sports, which I need to get in on actually, because I am a college football fanatic.
Well, there you go. They do it every Tuesday. It's pretty much all college football, Ben. So reach out to Chris Cole. We'll get you there.
And then obviously also since we're here, placemenation.com/Amazon takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. And then the social media page, and the message board, biglow34.proboards.com, the mothership, basically, where it all originally came from, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. That's where it all came from. It was kind of dormant for a while. And earlier this year, I was like, let me go check it out. And there were actually people still posting there. I was like, holy shit. So we ended up kind of reviving it a bit. I cleaned it up. And it ended up just housing some of our just stuff that needs to be housed, right? So like one was this nominee list. So for the third consecutive year, we're doing a greatest WWE ever project. Mm-hmm. The idea came from PWO when they did the greatest wrestler ever project. So 3 years ago, we did the greatest wrestler ever. So everyone submitted a list of 100, ranked of the greatest WWE wrestlers of all time. Last year, we did tag teams. And then this year, we're doing pay-per-view TV matches. So ballots are due December 31st. The balloting is open. If you go to the Facebook page, and if you're not on there, you can just search PTBN GWWE and it should pop up. And the ballot is there, so you can submit your lists. We've had live watches. We've had podcasts talking about different matches. And at the message board, kind of has like the nominee list. You know, it doesn't have to be in the nominee list if you want to put on your list, but it's a nice guide to help you because there's so many fucking matches.
That seems like a week-long project for me just to think about and write stuff down and like spreadsheets and all that sort of shit.
Oh yeah, it's intense. Like I've been struggling. I got it down to like 130 something, and now I'm like slowly whittling that to 100, and then trying to organize it. But it's fun. That's what we're about, is big stretch projects at PlayStation.com.
So where do you see the site going from here?
Honestly, so last year or so, well, maybe like 2 years ago, it seemed like the site was fading a bit. It's tough. I mean, look, everyone's kind of working for free on this stuff, so. The actual written stuff was fading a bit. Like, we came out hot. It was up and down. And it honestly just became a place where we were posting our podcasts. Around that time, Brad, our site was coming up for renewal. And Brad was kind of burnt on it. He had a lot going on in his personal life. And it was just like, hey, I'm going to look for someone to buy the site. And I'm like, all right. I'm like, if you can't find anyone to buy it, I'll buy it and just archive it and, like, save them. Because I've written a ton on that fucking site. I'm like, I'm not losing it.
You can save your stuff, yeah.
So Andy Atherton stepped up, and he's like, hey, I'll run it. And he has breathed, like, all new life into it. He has been tremendous in leading the site. He's rejuvenated me, too. Like, we found a bunch of new writers. We have new staff that's hyped on it. So I'm more bullish on the site and the feeds than I have been in a couple of years, just because there's this new life, new energy, new focus. I think we just needed some of that turnover. You know, voices like yourself, like Jenny, and then stalwarts like Todd Weber, who does a great job managing the pop feed, and others who've really stepped up and just kind of helped fill some of the gap as some of the older faces have faded a bit. And it runs on its own now at this point. And it's on its own because a lot of hard work goes into it. But it just runs. And I'm really proud of the content we built. Like I said, I'm not in it for money. I'm not in it for fame. I'm not in it for hits. I'm just in it to like create content, have people read and engage and become friends through it. And just I've always wanted to just create a good atmosphere and place to talk and be friends. And like, there's so many places out there full of trolls and bullshit and assholes. And I know you're big on Twitter, so you see it there every day.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah.
There's so much of it out there that's just like, God, who's got the energy? And I just wanted to just be a good community. And that's what always been my focus. And I feel like we've done that.
Seems a good place to leave it. JT, how do people get in touch with you? And if people have ideas, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so on Twitter, I run the main Place to Be Nation account, so Place number 2B Nation. You're going to be seeing lots of Providence Friars basketball tweets coming up as the season kicks off tomorrow. So you can check that out. You can message me there. Just add me, and then we'll talk. And on Facebook, our Facebook social page is facebook.com/Place2BNation. You can message us there. We can get you in. We have a live chat group, which is just a messenger group that pretty much talks all throughout the day.
I'm aware.
Which is a lot of fun. I'm sorry.
I'm aware.
So a lot's going on there. So that's fun. And also on Facebook, we have a kind of a group page too to post news and updates. And that's it. So just hit me up on one of those two places. And if you're interested in contributing, whether it's written or audio, just reach out. Like, we're always looking for new content, fresh ideas, like this show and many others.
Yeah, and then you built a great community, and you should be really proud of what you've done over the last, God, 8.5 years now. Makes me feel old as hell.
Sad. That's why we had to drink every WrestleMania weekend like we're 18.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Let's drink like there's no tomorrow. Let's live like Vikings. That's my rule.
I'm in.
JT, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it very, very much, and thank you for the opportunity, man.
Yeah, dude, it was a blast talking to you. Feel free to reach out to me anytime, and we got to get you back on the Place to Be podcast. I know we had a schedule that fell through, but we'll get you on for review since you're such an old school fan. We got to have you on.
Thanks, man.